Just endless dark, shot through with tiny spheres of sunlight older than you and your entire species stacked end to end. You want to feel small? Spend 60 seconds in a cyclone's cockpit, chum. Look out at the nothing and feel it looking back. Then you know exactly how much you add up to. We were off the Alexander's port side, like I said. Even 600 clicks away, you wouldn't believe how huge a United Terran Authority battle carrier looks. It's a mega-city-sized fist of matte gray, tail end lit blue-white by thruster arrays big as skyscrapers. I saw in VR somewhere that old Terran sailors used to refer to their ships like they were ladies. It was all, "She's the fastest ship in the Isles, Governor," or "She went down with all hands on board," or whatever. And it's funny. My Cyclone feels like a girl. Looks and moves like a girl. She's all sleek lines and sharp curves and edges that can bleed you white. Sometimes I swear she flies me. But Alexander is a he, no doubt in my mind. There's no grace to him, no real symmetry. He looks exactly like what he is. A brawler who picked a fight with someone just a little better. He's got a broken jaw face and a buck-toothed smile wide as an ocean. He doesn't fly through space. He punches through. Rips holes in it and drags himself and everything around along with him. 100,000 kilometers of cable beneath gunmetal skin. Open black scars torn down his flanks from the retreat at Carenza IV. Brain the size of a city burning inside him. He's no lady, sure and certain. No gentleman either. You do not fuck the Alexander. The Alexander fucks you. The science vessel Hypatia was situated about 4,000 clicks aft of the Alexander. Now she's a she. Beautiful ship, chum. Lines like poetry. She doesn't move in space. She dances in it. Asks you to take her hand and close your eyes and fly with her. The heavy freighter Copernicus was on Alexander's port side about 6,000 clicks aft. If I had to pick, I'm not sure if I would have called that ship a boy or a girl. I've seen pictures of turtles on the VR. Copernicus almost reminded me of those. The city-sized shells on its back filled with enough fuel to juice it, the Alexander, and the Hypatia combined. All the eggs in one basket. I think there's a saying about that. Second Lieutenant Carlin and I had just been tagged by Dreadnought for the fourth time in 20 minutes. Regular as analog. Her targeting computer would light us up. The words, vessel destroyed, would flash on our heads-up displays, and she'd laugh down comms at us like we were the funniest clowns she'd ever seen fly a stick. She'd started referring to Carlin as Chatter, because he talked too much between engagements. I felt bad for the guy. When a superior officer slaps a nick on you, chances are it's gonna stick. Chatter doesn't rank up there with the chillest call signs in the fleet. Dreadnought was still tossing ideas around for me, and every time she dropped a firebomb like Pretty Boy, I'd shit myself just a little. They engrave those call signs on your coffin when you get X'd out. Last thing you want to picture when you imagine your send-off is a bunch of fellow Cyclone drones standing around toasting the death of Lieutenant Sugarpants. We were forming up for another round of tag when the red alert sounded. At first I thought it was a drill. But then Aiden spoke to us direct on comms. See, Aiden doesn't do drills. The Alexander's artificial intelligence isn't capable of lying. Sure, it can think for itself, but no neurogrammer is stupid enough to make a computer capable of conceptualizing deceit. These things are so smart now, the ability to spin bullshit is all that separates us from them. Major Hawking. Please order your flight group to arm ballistics and pulse missiles. Safety disengaged. This is a code red. Aiden's voice is sexless. It has perfect tone and inflection and pronunciation, but it doesn't sound old or young, or have even a hint of an accent. It even refuses to refer to pilots by their call signs. I mean, sometimes it sounds cranky with you if you carve up the flight deck when you land or whatever, but aside from those occasional twitches, it's like a beautiful painting of a totally empty room. Gives me the crawls. Prophet repeated the order, and Dreadnought, Carlin, and me all went hot, didn't even think about it. Thinking gets you killed, that's what they tell you. The three of us formed up on Prophet's wing as he opened channel to Alexander, asking for confirmation from General Torrance. Except Prophet got no meat response on the other end, just Aiden giving us coordinates and telling us to scramble at red line speed. We flipped 270 degrees, jammed stick, and burned it toward the target. One look at my spatials told me where we were headed. Right at the Copernicus. I remember the conversation that happened next. Every word. I can hear it right now in my head, like I'm there all over again. Aiden, this is Prophet. Patch me through to General Torrance. Major Hawking. Proceed to designated grid coordinates at assault speed. Roger that, Aiden. We are en route. Patch me through to General Torrance. Unable to comply. Say again, Aiden. Unable to comply. I squinted at my instruments, glancing up through the blast specs to confirm what my readouts were telling me. A tiny flare was blooming on the Copernicus's skin. I saw nearly a dozen small scarab shapes dropping from the heavy freighter's belly one after another, thrusters flaring, twisted metal glittering in their wake. Prophet, something just blew through the Copernicus's launch bay doors, I reported. Why was the launch bay locked in the first place? Carlin asked. Shut your fucking blowhole, Chatter, Dreadnought barked. Prophet, I'm detecting multiple shuttle launches from the Copernicus. Acknowledge. Roger that, I see them. No comms from Copernicus. No launch permit on the shuttles. Lead craft ident, Osprey. Aiden's voice crackled over comms. Major Hawking, you are ordered to intercept Osprey Group 2,000 kilometers from Copernicus Hypocenter. Acknowledge. Hypocenter, Prophet repeated. Hypocenter, from the Greek, chums, literally means below the center. It's a term used to describe the origin point of an earthquake or a nuclear explosion. That got our attention. No fucking doubt. I saw warning lights flashing on my HUD. Radiation spike. At that point, I was nothing but adrenaline and sweat. And then I realized the Alexander had arced up its assault batteries. Missiles were heating, firing solutions feeding into our nav comps, a dozen LEDs flashing on my consoles now. The Alexander had armed its nukes. And it was aiming at the Copernicus. I asked Prophet what the f*** was happening, only to get howled at by Dreadnought for clogging comms. We were closing on the Copernicus at full burn, about 3,000 clicks away now. My hands were shaking so bad I could barely hold formation. The freighter loomed in my view shield, metal gleaming in the light of Carenza 7's Atmo, swirling blue and bloody red and copper-flavored gold. Prophet was shouting into comms now. Aiden, we have detected nuclear armaments being spooled in your silos. Patch me through to General Torrance now. Acknowledge. Transmission acknowledged, Major Hawking. Unable to comply. Prophet ordered me to raise the Copernicus on comms while he kept trying to get through to anyone human on board the Alexander. Copernicus was transmitting nothing but white noise. I did what I was told anyway. Heavy freighter Copernicus, this is Second Lieutenant Mason from Battle Carrier Alexander. Do you copy? I got hissing silence for a reply. Maybe they couldn't hear me. Maybe they weren't transmitting. Or maybe they were being jammed. Copernicus. This is Alexander Cyclone Flight Group Echo. Do you copy? And then it happened. Inbound alarms screeched in my cockpit and the Alexander let loose. Just like that. There's no up or down in space. Everything is relative. Funny how it can still feel like the entire universe has flipped on its head. My HUD was pretty much all red at this point. Prophet was yelling into comms, demanding an explanation from Aiden. He still pulled up at the 2,000 click point like he'd been ordered to, though. Copernicus was armed with anti-inbound batteries and ghost tech that might fool a missile's targeting computer on a good day, but the ship wasn't running up its defense solutions. It looked fine from the exterior. They still had power, engines, nav. The lights were on, but nobody was home. I watched the missile speed across the black. Lipstick red tip, pristine white flanks, serial number stenciled in neat black lettering along its belly. URD00M. Your doom. I wondered if that was some spanner monkey's idea of a joke. I wondered if the fucker was laughing now. Sound doesn't travel in space. There's no Atmo to carry it. All those old-school Terran future flicks we laugh at on Retro Night in the amphitheater got it wrong. But when that missile struck the Copernicus and burned blue, I swear I heard it. Felt it in my chest. The compensators on my visor dropped into sudden black against the flare, but I could still see it. The Copernicus being blown to pieces within a perfect sphere of blue. Chunks tumbling like thousand-ton jigsaw pieces across the black. 2,000-plus lives snuffed out in an instant. Dismantled by the blast or frozen into people-shaped icicles. All of it happening in perfect, absolute silence. Debris was speeding toward us on the edge of the blast wave, pattering on my blast shield like rain, colliding with Carenza 7's Atmo and burning through every color of the rainbow. I could still hear Prophet's voice on comms, but I can't remember what he was saying. Maybe he was still asking for an explanation. Maybe he was praying. I honestly can't tell you. I could still see the shuttles streaking toward us. Came to my senses like someone turned the universal volume back on. I could see other cyclones popping up on my spatials. More flight groups scrambled from Alexander. I'd tried hailing the lead shuttle on open comms, on the day's secure frequencies, on universal... nothing. But someone had to be flying them. They'd been moving too erratically for autopilot scripts. And then Aiden spoke again. Major Hawking. Intercept Osprey Group and destroy. Acknowledge. I heard Dreadnought talk on open comms then. That's when I knew... we were in real sh**. Jah, she said. Jah, help us. Prophet requested confirmation. Aiden, say again. You want us to fire on civilians? Quarantine breach in motion. Class Alpha Zero pathogen. Intercept Osprey Group and destroy. Acknowledge. Oh, God. Said Carlin. Quarantine breach in motion. Class Alpha Zero pathogen. Intercept Osprey Group and destroy. Acknowledge. Intercept Osprey Group and destroy. Acknowledge. Intercept Osprey Group and destroy. Acknowledge. Intercept Osprey Group and destroy. Acknowledge.
Briefing note. The following was released by the Hypatia's propaganda arm. Sorry, the shipboard communications unit. Nearly 11 hours after the Copernicus made her exit.
Populous information release. Issued by Captain Chow, science vessel Hypatia. Date, 7-21-75. Time, 0800 hours. Shipboard standard. Assignment, Alexander Fleet.
In the 6 months since we left Carenza, we have been pursued by the Baytech vessel BT-042-TN, the ship we know as the Lincoln. We owe the Alexander, her crew, and the United Terran Authority military a great debt of gratitude for their protection. We are still over 4 weeks from reaching a jump waypoint, and the Lincoln will use any means within her power to prevent us from reaching that safe passage and telling the rest of the galaxy the atrocities perpetrated by Baytech on the Carenza colony. It is with deepest regret I inform you all that last night at 21:15 hours, shipboard time, the Lincoln launched a surprise assault on our fleet, resulting in the destruction of the heavy freighter Copernicus. I know many of you had friends, family, and colleagues aboard the Copernicus, as did I. Survivors aboard 9 shuttles were rescued during the assault by the Alexander's Cyclone pilots, and we extend to them our heartfelt thanks for their heroic efforts. Due to the health concerns on the Copernicus in recent times, the survivors have been quarantined aboard the Alexander. This has slowed our efforts to compile a list of names and details. However, please rest assured we understand the urgency of this task. We are renewing our efforts to make good time toward a jump waypoint and safety. Please assist and support those around you who have lost family, friends, or colleagues. Interdenominational memorial services will be arranged shortly, with details to be posted in the mess halls.
Confirmed Copernicus casualty list, not for civilian review.
Andrews, Malini. Andrews, Matthias. Andrews,
Bates,
Nikki.
Aaron. Bates, Rosalie. Battista,
Godino,
Margarita.
Casey May, Godino. Darlene, Godino. Leanne,
Green,
Godino.
Harry. Green, Rebecca. Green, Eduardo. Green Tree, Victor. Greet, Odette. Greg, Lacey. Gregini, Candace. Gray, Essie.
Lee,
Griffin,
Alex.
Anya.
Lee, Eric. Lee, Nancy. Lemieux, Garrett. Lemieux, Suzanne. Lendvai, Paul. Lenko, Mark.
Parker,
Leroy.
Julie,
Mahalia.
Parker. Kinlop, Parker. Randolph, Parker. Raul, Parker.
Scott,
Sandra.
Allison, Scott. Juan, Scott. Michelle, Scott. Sonia, Scott. Tanya.
Briefing note. Up next is a conversation lifted from Hypatia's messaging system. Well, nearly. They piggybacked the official network instead of chatting openly. But we've lifted the conversation regardless. Grant has learned a lot in her 6 months aboard.
Participants, bite me, sit B. Date, 7-21-75. Timestamp, 0815 hours.
Bite me. You seen the PIR? It's bullshit.
Sitby. Huge surprise. The brass are lying. Knew this was coming.
You psychic now?
Should have started digging when they took down civilian comms on the Copernicus. Maintenance might.
So they were hiding something. Let's work out what.
You got any gen?
Working on it now.
You still there?
Trying to get past the ICE wall takes a while. Systems are so busy over there. Seems like they have their main engines off. But that makes no sense. We should be accelerating fast as we can before the Lincoln gets busy again.
Tick-tock, tick-tock.
You can do any better? Feel free.
Sorry. Are you okay?
Fine. Found a court-martial list.
Say again?
They're court-martialing the pilots that heroically saved all the people on the Copernicus shuttles.
What the fuck?
Got the records here. You tell me why they do that if the pilots were under orders.
Not the only mystery, Grasshopper. I'm hunting for any scans or records showing Lincoln got close enough to us to take a shot. Nothing so far. It's still way behind as far as I can tell.
So, no attack from Lincoln, and they're court-martialing our pilots. Are we saying it was our guys who took out the Copernicus?
Fuck me.
Ew, no.
This is getting weirder and weirder. But that can wait. Trying to find you a survivor list first.
Don't need one.
Of course you do.
I don't want to talk about it.
You need to know who made it off.
I need to know who shot down the Copernicus. That's the real mystery here.
Look, we both know I have no social skills, but if you need to talk about it...
Need you to tell me what you're finding.
Finding something weird. I can't get a read on Aiden. Thought I was just hitting ICE walls, but it's more like nobody's home.
Alexander 78V, Court Martial Listing, page 3. Pilot ident, Kayla Alton, UTN 924. Rank, Major. Call sign, Sting. Flight group, Delta. Pilot ident, Eli Hawking, UTN 912. Rank, Major. Call sign, Prophet. Flight group, Echo. Pilot ident, Zhenya Avaranga. UTN 945. Rank, First Lieutenant. Call sign, Dreadnought. Flight group, Echo. Pilot ident, Ezra Mason. UTN 966. Rank, Second Lieutenant. Call sign, Not applicable. Flight group. List incomplete.
Briefing note. This is the first communication initiated by Grant after the attack on the Carenza colony, despite Mason's best efforts.
Intercepted personal message on board System Hypatia. 2. Ezra Mason. E. Mason Alexander on board. From Katie Grant. K. Grant Hypatia on board. Date 7/21/75. Timestamp, 1000 hours. Subject, Hey Ezra.
I've tried writing this email 10 times already and I can't get it right, so I'm just going to send this through, whatever it ends up saying. I'm sorry I didn't write you back. I should have. I mean, when you say I'm never going to speak to you again, you don't think your planet's going to be invaded that afternoon. It was more... You know, an opening position on negotiations. I was angry. But you said in your email, maybe the universe was telling us that it wasn't going to work out. You're the most romantic idiot I know. So I guess if you think so, it must be true. That stung, but still, I'm sorry I didn't write back. Because, yeah, I should have let you know I was okay. I'm still on the Hypatia. I'm in intel training. Since I heard about the Copernicus, I haven't been able to stop thinking about you. This is not me retracting my promise to kick you into the soprano range if you ever come near me again. But I had to check you're okay. So, let me know if you're okay. Then we can go back to being whatever we are now. Katie.
Briefing note. The following is lifted from the Alexander's intra-ship messaging system. While Mason took none of the steps granted to cover his tracks, he had no real reason to expect anyone would be sifting through his old IM traffic. It's hardly Shakespeare.
Participants: Ezra Mason, 2nd Lieutenant, UTA Airborne Division. James McNulty, Sergeant, UTA Marines. Date: 7/21/75. Timestamp: 10:02 hours.
Mason E., Lieutenant 2nd. Well played, McNulty. Well played indeed.
McNulty J., Sergeant. What?
You have just overstepped the line, chum. I put you on notice.
This my what-the-face.
What I want to know is how you jacked her user ID. You pull in Dorian from Comtex to help? What did you do to convince him to help? Job?
You dusted or something?
I thought the chipheads would have their hands full trying to figure out what made Aiden go all howl on us. Instead, they're piggybacking secure IDs and helping you fuck with my head. I didn't think your jobs were that good.
Chum, what the fuck are you talking about?
I take this as a declaration of war. Presuming they don't line me up against a bulkhead and shoot me after my court-martial tomorrow, I will be making sweet, sweet love to your sister by week's end. This I do solemnly vow.
Ezra, don't joke about my sister. I fucking warned you.
Sweet.
Chum.
Sweet.
Mason.
Lurr.
Don't joke about my fucking sister, sucker. I will rip off your fucking squib and jam it up your fucking arse.
I liked this girl. I told you that. I may not have been able to walk straight at the time, but you said it was in the vault.
What girl, you crazy fuck?
Katie Grant.
Who?
Oh, you don't know. Fuck you, chum. This is some Pistols at Dawn shit right here.
Mason, I have no fucking idea what you're talking about right now.
So you didn't send this message?
What message?
I send you. Got?
Roger that.
And?
Reading fuck.
Taps fingers. Fuck me, how long it take you to read, you illiterate fuck? I heard your sister likes it 0G. True, false?
Chum, this wasn't me.
I smell lies.
Seriously.
Eat a dick.
Mason?
Yummy, scrummy dick.
Look at this writing. I do not write like this. She got all punctuations and things.
If you are lying, all jokes aside, I will totally gun for your sister. I swear to God I will make her my bride. Although, now you mention it, your punctuation is fucking ungodly.
I haven't been able to stop thinking about you. Chum, you are in. Picking curtains? Meeting parents? Making puppies? Wait, didn't you say this fam rolled you up and smoked you?
Ripped my heart out my chest. Showed it to me, still beating, then slam-dunked it off the ice shelf.
She get good air?
You, chum.
Cheer up, bitch. She wouldn't have written if her loins did not ache for thee.
Can you read? She's threatening to kick me in the Sopranos. She says it's over.
I haven't been able to stop thinking about you. I haven't been able to stop thinking about you. I haven't been able to stop thinking about you.
All right, shut up, fucker.
Read between the lines, fool.
So what do I say to her?
No fucking idea. Probably start by apologizing for whatever you did.
What makes you think it was my fault?
Because it's always the chum's fault, chum. You got extracurricular, didn't you?
No. I'd have no Sopranos to kick if I'd done dirty.
Come on, you can tell Uncle Jimmy.
Shut up, I like this femme.
And she obviously likes you, or she wouldn't be writing. Goddamn, you are a mopey bitch. So whatever you did, say you're sorry, on your knees. Insert quip about you being good at that here. And if that works, you must name your first kid James in my honor.
Mm.
If it's a daughter, you name it Jeanette.
Mm.
And then it's happy ever after for Ezra Mason. Shit.
What?
I was just thinking now it'll be a real crusher if they shoot you tomorrow.
Intercepted personal message on board system Alexander. To Katie Grant. K. Grant Hypatia on board. From Ezra Mason. E. Mason Alexander on board. Date 7/21/75. Timestamp 16:15 hours. Subject: Hey Ezra.
Hey Cades. Well, this is attempt number 18 at writing back, so I guess I've got you beat. I'm okay. I've been on the Alexander since Carenza fell. The UTA recruited me when I hit 18. I'm flying Cyclones now, if you can believe that. Shows you how short-manned they are if they've got me droning a fighter stick. I guess I finally made it off-world, huh? Probably not what you had in mind. You might want to be careful with the intel training. If they've got you doing any neurogramming, the UTA might conscript you, too. They're way short-handed over here since the hits they took at Carenza. One of the pulse missile hits X'd out, like, 3/4 of the NG guys. Might be hard to keep avoiding me if we're living in each other's pockets. Anyway, I gotta go. Got this meeting thing coming up. Guy here to talk about it. It's chill to hear from you, though. Real chill. Ezra. P.S. The drunken keyboard face mail? Totally not me. One of my squaddies got onto my terminal. He thought it'd be funny. Really sorry about that. P.P.S. Seriously, not me. P.P.P.S. Seriously.
Briefing note. Though unsent, these are worth review.
Intercepted personal message on board system Hypatia. Message status, draft, discarded. To Ezra Mason, E. Mason Alexander on board. From Katie Grant, K. Grant Hypatia on board. Date 7/21/75. Timestamp 17:15 hours. Subject: Well, we are awkward at this.
But thanks for messaging back. Everybody here is talking about the Cyclone pilots. They put out a PIR about how you all rescued the shuttles from the Copernicus. What's it like to be a hero? I guess your meaning is getting measured for medals, right? Anyway, what was facing down the Lincoln like? And the rescue? It seems kind of weird that the Lincoln could just come out of nowhere like that. How did it all happen? Also, my friend here is wondering about the survivalists because... More subtle, Katie. Like a brick, why don't you?
Intercepted personal message on board system Hypatia. Message status, draft, discarded. To Ezra Mason, E. Mason Alexander on board. From Katie Grant, K. Grant Hypatia on board. Date 7/21/75. Timestamp 17:35 hours. Subject: Uh-oh.
They do have me in the civilian neuroprogramming program, but I don't like the sound of those odds. Time for a career change. If only I had a choice. I'd be okay coming over to the Alexander, to be honest. I bet you guys have more information than us. You're the military. You have a whole intelligence wing, right? Then again, if what they're saying is true, the Lincoln snuck right up on us. Is that what really happened? Anyway, the Alexander would be okay. My quarters here aren't with anyone I knew back on Carenza. And even if everybody went through the same thing with the evac, it's still... I don't want to say lonely, because that sounds so ungrateful. We're the ones that got out. I know things didn't end well, but I think if the attack hadn't come, maybe we'd have found some way to at least still be friends. And you know, maybe... a year together can't mean nothing. I thought...
Intercepted personal message on board system Hypatia. Message status, draft, discarded. To Ezra Mason, E. Mason Alexander on board. From Katie Grant, K. Grant Hypatia on board. Date, 7:21:75. Timestamp, 17:57 hours. Subject.
Briefing note. Grant's personal journal, retrieved from four separate Mirage virtuals with dead man switch, shift sequencing, and memetic encryption.
Do not enter. Date 07-21-75. Subject, it's dark in here. We're back doing group counseling again. I'm back doing group counseling again. Me. I mean, I don't even. After all the effort I put into getting out of this the first time. But they've decided we are all super traumatized by the Copernicus and reconvened the groups they had running after the rescue. The latest round of talking, or not, about our feelings led our group leader to conclude maybe some of us are more forthcoming than others when it comes to sharing the deepest, darkest parts of ourselves. Being the astute creature she is, she spent 10 minutes and never getting back pointing out that just because we don't talk about our feelings doesn't mean we don't have them. Thank you, Captain Obvious. I guess she was looking at me on that one. I haven't slept properly since it happened, and I keep waking up at night wondering bad things. I just don't think talking about it to a group of worried faces is the way to help me. I hate the crying the most. It just creeps up on you out of nowhere. You're in the middle of doing something, and suddenly you realize your goddamn eyes are wet again, and you don't know how it happened. And the last thing you want is for anyone to notice, because next thing they're cooing and clucking over you, and they want you to talk, and it's more than I can take. I have my mom's voice ringing in my ears, though. So I'm trudging along dutifully to these stupid group discussions, even though it's pointless. I haven't kept a journal since I was a kid, filling it with all the secrets of the universe, the suckitude of my parents moving me to a hideous hunk of rock like Carenza, the total angst of it all that I'd give anything to get back. It worked, though. Writing it down stopped me saying it when I shouldn't. And over time, the problems faded away. My present problems aren't going anywhere, but maybe the return of the journal will stop my head exploding. This thing is locked down under the kind of privacy protections even Byron couldn't crack. And if anyone reads it, I'm going to devote my life to finding a way to program every bathroom door in the Hypatia to refuse to recognize their ID. Actually, I think I could do that. Beware, snooper. So, a journal. I appreciate that they're trying to help with the group sessions, but they're scientists, not therapists. You can't run people through a quick training session and then have them host a bunch of traumatized survivors sitting in a circle and trying to talk it out. My group leader says it's important to talk about my feelings. I'm stone-hearted and have none, of course. Well, that's not true. Most people would say I'm pretty cold, but I think of it more as private. People are always saying, "How are you? to each other, and I guess I don't see why I should answer such a personal question for just anyone. But for the sake of trying, here goes. Ezra's been on my mind a lot lately. Why, I don't know, except that the more you lose, the more you realize you don't have much left. But at the same time, am I dumb to go back there? It was hard enough to make a decision the first time. But if after a year he couldn't even trust me enough to talk about whatever he had going on, and anyway, practically the first thing he did was email me and say it was all a sign, and we weren't meant to be together. And I do have some dignity. I don't want to be an option for him just because now he doesn't have any others. I'm glad he made it out, obviously. It's not about that. I think a lot about who made it out. Who didn't. I think about my cousin Asha. Sometimes I just remember some random person, like the lady who came to fix our habitation recite the week before it all happened. I can see her face. But I don't remember if I knew her name. I wonder if she made it out. If she's somewhere on board, or if she died. And then I don't know why I'm wondering something like that, or why I feel so bad about not knowing. Survivor guilt, according to the counseling circle of hastily downloaded wisdom. I guess an experience like this is supposed to mess you up.
Briefing note. Note the timing here. The hackers pick up what's happening before the Hypatia's commanders do.
Participants, Bite Me, Sit B. Date, 7:22:75. Timestamp, 0902 hours.
Bite Me, you there? Ping. Ping. Ping, come on. Come on.
Fuck me, I'm here, what? I was trying to find Copernicus' survivor list for you. That takes concentration, you know.
Told you I don't want them. Forget that. Ping the Alexander.
How can you not want to know?
Ping the Alexander.
Okay.
You doing it?
Trying.
Well?
Still trying. Did you miss your meds or what? What's the rush?
Well?
I can't.
I know. Comms are down.
System check?
No, they all blinked out simultaneous. When they're running a check, you see them cascade out. Alexander's main engines are still offline, too. I was watching for court-martial results when comms were cut.
Checking on your boyfriend.
This again.
Don't deny the flame still burns. Your heart leaps at the mention of his name. You know this is love, sent by forces above.
Are you quoting song lyrics now?
I do not have a lot of real-life experience with romance.
Listen, I'm doing this because it's our best chance of finding out what the fuck happened to the Copernicus. We don't have anyone else on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Can we please keep our minds on the job at hand?
I don't know, can we?
Byron, they cut the ship link, just like they did with Copernicus.
Okay, okay, I don't like it either. I have news, though. There are definitely Copernicus survivors on the Alexander. I found signs about an hour ago. The cyclones are only landing in bays 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6. See what's missing?
OMG. Numbers. Wait, wait. I can totally do this. Oh, the thinking. It hurts.
Okay, fine. Point taken.
Wait. Is it the number 4?
All right. I'm sorry. Point is, we found our Copernicus shuttles.
So the survivors are still locked down. Shouldn't they be debriefing? Working out what the fuck happened?
I'm just one guy. Patience, Grasshopper.
I want to know why they isolated us by cutting comms. Are we next?
careful going after that sort of gen. That's hardcore. They find you doing that, they burn you right out.
You're scared.
No, smart. Dangerous times.
Command transmission sent 7:22:75, 0906 hours.
Hypatia hailing Alexander. Narrow frequency broadcast. Alexander, Alexander, Alexander. This is Hypatia, Hypatia, Hypatia. Do you copy? Over. Hypatia hailing Alexander. Auxiliary frequency. Alexander, Alexander, Alexander. This is Hypatia, Hypatia, Hypatia. Do you copy? Over. Hypatia hailing Alexander. Mayday frequency. Alexander, Alexander, Alexander. This is Hypatia, Hypatia, Hypatia. Do you copy? Over.
Alexander hailing Hypatia. Mayday frequency.
Auto response. Your message has been received and quarantined. Your message will be processed. Over.
Alexander, this is Hypatia. What the f*** do you mean our message has been quarantined? This is Captain Chow. Get me Torrance on the line. Over.
Auto response. Your message has been received and quarantined. Your message will be processed. Over.
That right? We'll process this. You flex your tiniest gun turret? Look like you're even reaching to scratch an itch? I'm going to raise so much noise, the Lincoln and every ally she has in the verse will know where to find you.
Hypatia, this is Colonel Miles. Go secure. Repeat, go secure. Over.
Hypatia hailing Alexander. Commander secure frequency. Leah, what the fuck?
Sit tight, Anne. Comms are down while we do some work on Aiden, and we could live without gossip flying back and forth between the ships. You should see the stats on broadcast frequency the last couple of days. Your people and ours have been busy. Loose lips.
Look, I said exactly what you told me to say. I said it was the Lincoln that took out the Copernicus. Pretty soon, someone's going to have to start answering some questions for me, though. Anyone with eyes can see your main engines are offline and you're re-accelerating on secondaries. Has this work you're doing taken Aiden offline completely? Get your drives back up. Where's Torrance?
He's taking care of some official business. You have my word, Anne. We're here to keep you safe.
Briefing note. Following is a transcription of Hypatia surveillance footage by an Illuminae technician. Original footage is also available. Please forgive the enthusiastic language. Our tech is good at what he does, but he's not Dostoevsky. Short version. Unlike Captain Chow, Grant wasn't prepared to sit around waiting for comms to be restored.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
This girl has to be some kind of spider monkey. I don't know what those are, but I know what a spider is, and I know what a monkey is. And if you found some unholy way to combine the two, that's what I'd be watching right now. You said include everything. Right now, I'm including my impression that she is very flexible and apparently unaffected by gravity. I guess you need more context. I'll go back to the start and transcribe from there. Footage opens at 11:38 on 07:22:75. Subject is Katie Grant, neurogramming intel student, third class, a Carenza refugee training aboard the Hypatia to replace crew they lost to the Alexander. Camera 892A takes in the corridor leading through to the servers. She enters with a group of fellow trainees and an instructor, and they make their way down the corridor. The floor is a metal grid, and the clanging of their footsteps interferes with the audio on the file. The sound dampeners don't work when there's such a big gang. The noise drowns out individual conversations, but that doesn't matter. They're just fooling around the way students do, showing off for each other as they funnel down the long, narrow corridor, and she's in the middle of it. She's short, so she's sometimes hidden behind the others, but there are enough glimpses to confirm she's there. They reach the server door, and she slips to the back of the group as they shove through. The subject digs in her jumpsuit and palms something too small for the cameras to pick up on. Just as she reaches the door itself, last in line and invisible to everybody else, she jumps, slapping at the environmental sensors by the top of the doorframe. There's a dark mark there when her hand comes away, but camera resolution isn't good enough to pick up the specs. I would have laid down this week's salary she couldn't jump so high. Where does she get that kind of bounce from? Seriously, big jump for a small girl. She slips through the door the moment before it hums shut. Inside the server room, the data monkeys look up and scowl and make "shut up, we're working" gestures, which dampens the students. The data monkeys don't look worried, though. Either they don't know the Alexander cut comms, or they've been fed some excuse. The room originally housed servers only, with personnel up the hall. The repurposing of the Hypatia from research vessel to refugee carrier removed that luxury. The relocated servers now line the walls, and rows of desks are crammed into the resultant space. The cables that would usually slither all over the floor have been looped up against the ceiling by fat metal bands, though they still droop and coil downward like so many intestines. Whichever interior design genius handled the redesign found some harsh fluorescent emergency lights and jammed them in among the cables bundled up against the roof, which means there are bands of bright light and deep shadow all over the room. The students, including the subject, take up places at the desks and log in to their individual ports, getting to work on today's assignment. At 11:41, the environmental controls in the server room and the corridor beyond indicate a concern regarding air quality. Loud, high-pitched and f***ing annoying beeping, cutting over the chatter of the class and ruining what little audio I have. They all rise and grumble and turn for the door, and as they exit, Grant pulls a spider monkey thing. Stepping up onto her desk, she grabs at the nest of cables, tangled up there like a bowl of noodles. She's little, and they hold her weight. The subject has picked a spot in the back of the room, and by the time the head data tech checks for stragglers, she's clinging to the ceiling in the shadows and out of sight. The door hums closed as she unpeels from the ceiling and drops to the ground. She walks over to one of her fellow student stations, which is still logged in. The Enviro system continues beeping, and she looks up at the speakers like she wants to silence them with her death glare. It's a pretty good death glare, actually. I'd behave. Subject inserts a memchip into the station's port, pulls on the HUD headset and activates the old-school keyboard. It slides out from the side of the station, sitting vertically, and her fingers dance. She sends a batch info dump to an anonymous holding drive. We know this from what we could piece together of the drive records. We still don't know what most of that info was. Sliding away the keyboard, Subject pulls off the HUD and dumps it on the desk. She then crawls under the desk, so, for a moment, all you can see is her butt sticking out. No complaints here, just saying. For those playing along at home, she was attaching a device called an interface leech. Has to be attached physically, and allows access to a transmission array the fleet commanders use for emergency communications. So, if you can access it, you can piggyback your own comms on it without anybody noticing. Also, somebody should probably tell the UTA they've got a fleet-wide security vulnerability going on there. At 11:48, the Enviro alarm stops beeping without warning. She freezes, caught by surprise, I'm guessing. Abruptly, she's scrambling out, banging her head on the desk in a hurry, clambering to her feet, yanking the mem chip from the station, though she still pauses to give the monitor a little pat, like it's a good dog for behaving so well. Subject hurries over to the back of the room, stuffs the chit into her pocket, and crouches in the shadows behind a bank of desks. At 11:49, the students and data techs file back in, grumbling about the interruption. She makes for the door. The head data tech says something inaudible. With a quick smile that's on the opposite end of the spectrum from that deaf glare, subject says something inaudible in return. They don't need this girl in Eurogramming. They need her in PsychOps, eyeball to eyeball with the guys who need to see things a little differently. Just saying. What she says must be an excuse, and it works. Not batting a lash, he palms the door open for her himself. She strolls back down the hallway, ultra chill, stands there waiting until a data tech opens that door from the other side. She slips past, and she's out and free. As the door hums shut, subject is visible pivoting and blowing a kiss back toward the server room. I don't blame her. She just plundered that thing. It took 11 fucking minutes, and she's just strolling away.
Do not enter. Date 07-22-75. Subject, behind the curtain. Learning is everywhere. I remember my mom telling me that when I was little, making mundane things seem like they were full of adventure. What I wouldn't do for a little mundanity at this moment. Or my mom. I wonder if I'll be able to claim some kind of school credit for the stuff I'm learning on board. It's not exactly conventional, but I haven't given up on college, and I don't want to end up behind. Note to self, figure out how to argue the merits of practical experience in computer crime to a college application board without getting arrested. Ha ha. I am on a refugee ship limping alongside a disabled military battle carrier, being chased down by a Baytech dreadnought and hoping to live long enough to find a jump gate so I must not get behind on my schooling. I sound dusted. I'm just too funny. There's nobody here to appreciate my jokes. My group leader says I mask my emotions with dark humor and sullenness. Maybe she's right. Poor woman used to be a geologist before they made her a counselor. And the only thing she's got going for her is that our group is about as easy to talk to as a bunch of rocks. But who wants to break the dam on stuff like this in public? You write it down and put it away, then back to work. Today's counseling session was about looking behind the face we put on in public to think about what else might really be going on. I wonder if that was just a sideways attempt to get me to be nicer to some of the others. Walk a mile in their shoes, blah, blah. Anyway, she gave us the theme, and as she launched off into another round of, how does that make you feel? I kept thinking about this Hollow show I saw as a kid. They put on a play in the community complex with light-projected puppets, and I snuck away from my parents and went around the back to investigate the puppeteers. The whole romance scene was spoiled by me sauntering out on stage to share my discovery. I'm only realizing now how Mom and Dad must have wanted to hide under their seats, but to be fair, it was hardly the first time I'd mortified them. I remember that moment really clearly. It was so important to me that everybody understand that what they were seeing, this romance, these feelings right there on stage, none of it was real. And that the girl puppet was really a guy with the biggest mustache I'd ever seen, which struck me as hilarious. Clearly I had missed the romance of the moment. I was all over today's theme of what might really be going on, though, even at the age of 8. I knew it mattered, getting behind the pretend, the masks, and finding out what was really happening. In romance? I knew even then it wasn't the real deal. Today, as we practiced empathy and pretended to put ourselves in the shoes of others, without really doing it because none of us want to imagine anyone else's grief, We have enough problems with our own. I thought a lot about that Hollow show, and the commanders of our little refugee fleet. Like I said, back to work. My group leader has no idea how much